God has given us many wonderful gifts. But one of those gifts is a very dangerous gift. And that is freedom of choice. We can do whatever we want. We can go wherever we want. God will never force us to do what He wants us to do or force us to go where He wants us to go. We were given total freedom. From birth, a person can decide what he wants to do, where he wants to go. And God will always respect and honor the decisions that we make. God has warned us in His Word that certain choices are deadly. A person's behavior can be destructive. And this morning in our text, we are going to see that it is possible for a person to live a certain way that is totally displeasing to the Lord. In such a case, God has no choice but to give up on that person. And it is sad when God gives up on the very people that He created and that He died for. Today we are going to see that the wrath of God is real. It is a terrible thing when God lets go. But going contrary to God is a self-destructive behavior. So please turn to our text. We are in the book of Romans. We started last week. We are now at chapter 1, verse 18. We saw that chapter 1 has two parts. The good news, the gospel of God, and the bad news, the wrath of God. We have covered the first part. We have learned not to be ashamed of Jesus, not to be ashamed of the gospel. So today we will take the second part and learn about self-destructive behavior. Our text this morning has two sections. First, we'll see the reasons for the condemnation in verses 18 to 23. Then we will see the results of the condemnation in verses 24 to 32. God never condemns without just cause. So we will see three reasons for the condemnation. Then we will see three results from the condemnation. The Bible does not only reveal the righteousness of God, as we saw last week in verse 17. It also reveals the wrath of God here in verse 18. Even though people do not like to talk about it, even though some churches do not like to talk about it, the wrath of God is as real as His love. Christians need to know about the wrath of God as much as they need to know about the love of God. So let's start with the reasons for the condemnation. Paul continues his letter and he says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. There's a lot of stuff in here. What does God's wrath mean? Well, let's start with what it is not. It is not like human wrath or human anger. We think of wrath as rage, lack of control, bad temper. A man who is almost besides himself, he is so angry. This cannot be true of God. He is never out of control. So do not picture an old man with gray hair and a white beard swinging a baseball bat all over the place because he's so angry. God is not like this. The wrath of God is not a flaring up of passion that is quickly over. It is a strong, settled opposition to everything that is evil. God hates sin. All that is in the realm of Satan, the realm of sin and darkness, is hated by God. The wrath of God is God's view of sin, meaning that he cannot and he will not tolerate sin. That means that every time a person sins, he must get right with God. Why does God hate sin? Because of his nature. He is holy. He is just. So the wrath of God is the expression of God's holy displeasure with sin. In the Bible, as much time is devoted to the terror of God as to the comfort of God. The only difference is that people do not like, do not focus, do not spend time, do not talk about the terror of God. They don't like it. So they only talk about the comfort of God. He's a God of comfort. Yeah, that's great. But he's also a God of wrath. It seems like people are embarrassed to talk about the terror of God as if they don't want to make God look bad. The truth is that God hates sin and he will punish it. His holy nature demands that he does. God is a God of wrath along with all the wonderful other attributes mentioned about him in the Bible. So Paul says in verse 18 that the wrath of God is constantly being revealed from heaven. God's wrath is being made known all the time, past, present, and future. There are several examples of God's wrath in the past. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were removed from paradise, and they died just as God said they would. That was really a suicide, if you think about it. The first suicide mentioned in the Bible. It's like saying to someone, do not pull this trigger here. If you do, you will surely die. They were told, do not eat from this tree here. If you do, you will surely die. And they did anyway. And God threw them out of the garden. Go die somewhere else. Then if you go to the flood of Noah's day, God punished all the people except eight of them, drowning them all for their sins. That was the wrath of God. Then you go to Sodom and Gomorrah. People were destroyed by fire and brimstone for their sins. And their major sin was homosexuality, loving people of the same sex. And we also see the wrath of God in the judgment against the nation Israel. Over and over, God brought judgment against Israel as they chose to disobey God and to go their own way, contrary to God. So God's wrath has always been active in the past. It is a part of His nature. How is God's wrath manifested in the present? Well, sin has consequences. And those consequences are part of the wrath of God. If a person walks in a sinful way, he will have to reap the consequences of his action, and that is part of God's wrath. The Bible talks about sin that leads to death as a consequence. That's in the book of John. God does not settle all his account at the same time. That's why some people seem to get away with their sinful lifestyle right now. They may think they are getting away with it, but God's wrath will catch up with them sooner or later. There is no escape. How is God planning to pour out his wrath in the future? Well, two ways. One is the great tribulation that is coming, such as the world has never seen before. You may think you've seen some bad stuff in this world, some bad earthquakes, some amount of people dying, terrible things. We have seen nothing. There is a great tribulation that is coming that is going to be worse than anything ever seen before. That is part of the wrath of God. And then there's the eternal lake of fire. You don't go boating on this one. That's the place where they cast all the wicked in it. Now, against whom is the wrath of God targeted? Against two groups mentioned in verse 18. All those who are ungodly, and all those who are unrighteous. What's the difference between the two? They seem to be the same. They're not. Ungodly has to do with God. It is having a wrong relationship with God. Unrighteous has to do with men, having a wrong relationship with men. The first one deals with the first tablet of stone, the first four commandments of God. They all deal with God. And then the second one deals with the second tablet of stone, the last six commandments of God. They all deal with men. Ungodly means a lack of reverence for God. No devotion to God. They do not worship Him. Unrighteous means no care for others. They treat each other unrighteously. Now, failure to give God His due, proper honor and reverence, results in failure to treat the people created by God in His image the right way. A person who does not have a right relationship with God, a person who is ungodly, will automatically be unrighteous, will treat others bad. If you can treat God, the creator of the universe, the one that sustains your life, if you can treat Him bad, then you will treat others bad. It's a given. Now, there are three reasons mentioned here for the wrath of God. Why the wrath of God? For three reasons. The first reason is for suppressing God's truth. Verse 18. They know the truth. They know there is a God, but they refuse to respond to what they know to be true. They suppress it, verse 18. They don't want His word, and they don't want anyone to tell them what to do. So they suppress God's truth. Second reason, for ignoring God's existence. Paul tells us that God has given men a certain knowledge that He exists in verse 19. People have a knowledge that there is a God, a supreme being. They know that there is one called God. They know this, whether they will admit it or not, But Paul is saying they have this awareness that God exists. How? He mentioned a few things. Internally, verse 19, God is manifest in them. That is called our conscience. God has given everyone an internal knowledge that He exists. There is something inside of us that tells us that it is wrong and it is God. Outwardly, verse 20 says, the creation of the world, God has shown Himself to men through nature. But ungodly and unrighteous people ignore this truth about God. So Paul says that they are without excuse. God is letting people know that He exists and that He is the truth. And then the third reason, verse 21, for perverting God's glory. People perverted God's glory two different ways. They did not glorify Him as God, verse 21. They withheld what should have been given to God, reverence, appreciation, worship, honor, obeying Him, obeying His word. They did not give glory to God. And the second reason, also in verse 21, they were unthankful. They withheld from God gratitude, acknowledgement that He is the one who is providing all things for them. Without God, we would die in a minute. He provides the air that we breathe. Our life are in His hand. If He says so, we die. And we should be thankful that He keeps us alive. But those ungodly and unrighteous people are not thankful. They are unthankful. They were recipients of many blessings, and they took them all for granted, refusing to give thanks to the Lord. And this lack of gratitude is another way in which man is rejecting the truth of God. Then Paul tells us about the result of this rejection. Two things will happen. Number one, they became futile. Futile means worthless in their thoughts. Suppressing the truth of God. Ignoring the existence of God. Perverting the glory of God affected their thinking. They began to speculate and reason on their own instead of submitting to God. They came up with the weirdest doctrines and theologies, trying to justify themselves, trying to justify their sins. So they became futile in their thoughts. And number two, Paul says, their foolish hearts were darkened. It also affected their inner life. Their emotions were also affected. Their hearts were darkened. They have gone from truth to emptiness to darkness. Intellectual darkness, moral darkness, and spiritual darkness. So having their thinking altered and their hearts darkened, they do not realize how sin is dangerous. It might be fun for a moment, but it will wrap itself around them. They will go from being darkened to being defiled, to being depraved, and to eventually to being destroyed. They will find themselves sliding down, doing things they never even imagined they could do. That is what happens to a man when he rejects God. They boast of their wisdom, but they have made fools of themselves. By not glorifying the Lord and not being thankful, they became fools. Paul says in verse 22, it is unbelievable what a person will do after he has rejected the truth and rejected the living God. They reject the real thing, not Coca-Cola. the real God for the imitation. They reject the incorruptible God for the corruptible images, verse 23. America has many gods that have become socially acceptable by everyone. People worship all sorts of things: humanism, nationalism, money, pleasure, sex, romance, entertainment, sports, education, prestige, power, singers, movie stars, athletes, and so many other things. And no one says anything about it. They make gods of those things and they worship them. Worship them meaning that they give all of their time, their effort, their money to these things. People suppress God's truth. They ignore God's existence. They pervert God's glory. And the wrath of God will soon be revealed from heaven against them. These are the reasons for the condemnation. Their behavior is self-destructive. Now at verse 24, we take the second section, the results of the condemnation. Paul says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. In this section, we see what happens to those who reject God, who suppress the truth, who ignore God's existence, and who pervert God's glory. They are abandoned to three things. Number one, they are abandoned to corruption. Verse 24, to sexual uncleanness, to the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 24, forsaken to the desire for forbidden pleasure. Number two, they are abandoned to abomination, to vile passions, homosexuality and lesbianism. Verses 25 and 26, and they are abandoned to perversion, to all sorts of sexual immorality and wickedness in verse 29. The first thing that happens is that God rejects them. He abandons them. And Paul mentions three times here that God gives them up. How sad. Deep inside, man has a desire for forbidden pleasure. It is inside of each and every one of us. For whatever reason, whatever is forbidden is tempting. And what is not forbidden is not fun anymore. I used to smoke as a young kid. My parents did not know I was a smoker. But when he gave me permission to smoke, it was no fun no more. It was much more fun when I was doing it and it was forbidden. There was some fun to it, some excitement. But the moment he said, go ahead and smoke, what do you mean? There's no fun no more. We're attracted to what is forbidden. It is the fear of God that restrains people. But when one rejects God, then God allows him to fall into the power of that desire. And he finds himself ruled by a craving for everything that is not lawful. He wants what is forbidden. Americans in general have said no to God. Look around, you can see they have said no to God. They will not respect him. They will not obey him. They will not serve him. They will not have God rule over them. They do whatever they want. Look at what they do. They are slaves to sexual uncleanness, fornication, adultery, child molestation. Their hearts are filled with lust, and they dishonor their bodies among themselves. Not ruled by God, they are ruled by a sexual craving. And this nation is sex crazy. The amount of money that is invested in sexual perversion is incredible. I wonder what God could do with the money that is going to that industry. Paul says in verse 25 that they do two specific things. Number one, they exchange the truth of God for the lie. The word of God is the truth of God. Not only the truth concerning God, it is also the truth concerning all things, including mankind. The truth that people are created by God, that they can find only through fulfillment in worshiping, obeying, and serving Him, the Creator. The truth that marriage is between a man and a woman, not two of the same kind. He started with Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Sorry, Steve. Notice that the lie is singular, not the lies plural. One. The lie is that man can exist independent of God, self-sufficient, self-directing, self-fulfilling, making him a god. In the place of the true God, the Creator who is blessed forevermore, a lie from the pit of hell. And the second specific things that they do, they worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. This is not necessarily a reference to images or statues, but worshiping and serving themselves. They are the creature that they worship and serve. And if self desires to do something wicked, something evil, then they let self do it, regardless of what God says. So Paul mentions in verse 26 that God gives them up to vile passions. What does vile mean? It means disgusting, unnatural passion. Having determined that they will not be ruled by God. Consequently, God allowed them to fall into this horrible lifestyle. God gave them up as a consequence of their refusing God's way. They don't want to go with what God says. They don't like what God says. They're going to go their own way. The Creator predecided before creating us. How people should function sexually. And it is clearly described in God's Word. Different sexes were created for a reason. Paul says something weird in verse 27. He says that they are receiving the penalty for their error. It is not really a sexual preference. It is a shameful error, the Bible says. The greatest deception of all is to assume that God accepts them as they are. And they try to have somewhat of a relationship with God through a broad-minded church that would let them continue in that lifestyle and still worship God in some fashion. The Quaker Church released a statement saying that homosexuality is no more abnormal than being left-handed. There is no penalty in the Bible for being left-handed. It does not say in the Bible that it is a shameful error to be left-handed. I would not join the Quaker Church. I'm left-handed. They may think I'm homosexual. They don't seem to know the difference between the two. And many denominations today ordain homosexuals and lesbians into the ministry. Some churches, the Catholic Church has hundreds of organizations for practicing homosexuals. The Metropolitan Gay Church has thousands of members with 158 churches in 7 different countries. God's Word clearly says here that it is a shameful error. What they are doing is wrong. It is an error. They need to confess and repent. God will forgive them. God will accept them since it is not the unpardonable sin. But it leads to the unpardonable sin of rejecting Jesus Christ. The greatest delusion of all is to proclaim that homosexuality is a sickness. Now, child molesters also say that their shameful error is a sickness. Not so. If it were a sickness, the Bible would talk about healing for it, as it does for leprosy. It is not a sickness. It is not a sexual preference. It is a shameful error, we are told right here. The greatest blasphemy of all is to claim that they were born that way, that God created them that way, the way that is an abomination to Him, and He would create people like this. Here God's Word says it is shameful, it is unnatural, it is a disgusting, revolting passion. This is not what I say, this is not my opinion. But this is what God says. They might be deceived, but they should not insult God by saying that it is His fault if they are that way. They have chosen the way. They have chosen a destructive behavior. And the greatest misnomer of all is to call themselves gay. They are anything but happy. They are receiving the penalty of their error, verse 27, for going contrary to God's will and God's word. They cannot be happy. They are being abandoned by God. He gave them up to uncleanness. How can a person be abandoned by God and be happy? How can a person be told by God that he is worthy of death and be happy? We see in verse 32. How can a person be told by God that he cannot go to heaven and be happy? God says so in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, naming them. Homosexuals are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're not coming in. How can they be happy with this? There's no hope. We are also told in verse 27 that they are burning in their lust for one another. What kind of happiness is burning? Meaning that they are striving very hard to satisfy what cannot be satisfied that way. They are in darkness. They are miserable, trying to convince themselves and convince the whole world that they are very happy. They are not. I do not call them by that word ever. We should not have any personal opinion concerning people involved in homosexuality or lesbianism. All we have is God's opinion. I have no personal opinion. I am simply giving God's opinion, and that's enough. Unfortunately, those involved in such lifestyle only gave us their personal opinions. They ignore God's opinion. And yet God's opinion is more important than anyone else's opinion. This topic today is very sensitive. There are laws now protecting this lifestyle. Plans are being made to force teachers to teach this lifestyle to young people at school. Mocking this lifestyle or speaking against this lifestyle is a hate crime today. They are protected by the government. And they are trying very hard, one state at a time, to pass same-sex marriage. Those who oppose that are mocked. And they are spoken against. But that is not a crime. That's okay. Only one side is a crime. It is not simply a matter of rejecting God and that's the end of it. No. God reacts to such rejection. And Paul tells us in verse 28 that as a result of it, God gave them over to a debased mind. Their mind becomes unable to make trustworthy, honorable decisions. They do things that are not fitting, not appropriate. Men were not created to do the things that they do. If their father or their grandfather had been the way they are, they would not exist today. The reason why they do is because they cannot think properly anymore. Their mind is affected. And then you have the list, verses 29 to 31, of all those things that come from a debased mind. These 23 things that are mentioned here are the result of God not being in their life. The people dismissing God in their life. And what is sad is that some things are being done. Some of these things in the list here are being done by born-again Christian. And young people, I want you to look at the one in verse 30. Disobedient to parents is listed with sexual immorality and haters of God. God is serious when he says he wants his children to obey their parents. Then Paul concludes this section by mentioning in verse 32 that people who do those things, they know they are wrong, but they continue to do it anyway. He mentioned a few things that they know. They know the righteous judgment of God. They know that those who do such things are worthy of death. And they do the very things they know are wrong. And the last sad thing mentioned is that some people who would not dare to do such things. Approve those who do it. It's right here. Read it for yourself. Verse 32. They have no problem watching it on TV, videos, movies. They applaud those doing such things. They support the industry that is promoting such things. They encourage those who are rejected by God, who are receiving the penalty of their error. Born-again Christian cannot approve those who practice those things. Makes no difference how related to you they are. Do not go against God and approve those who practice such things. Verse 32 is clear. What a sad session. We see here that even though people or churches do not like to talk about the wrath of God is real as the love of God. And in our text this morning, we see the truth about God's wrath, the target of God's wrath, the reason for God's wrath, and the results of God's wrath. The only question we do not get an answer for is, when does God give up on someone? That we don't know. At what point does he say it is enough? Where is the line that people cross that is too far? That we don't know. What line did they cross at Sodom and Gomorrah? We know from the Bible that they were not talking about marriage. And they had crossed the line. God destroyed them in Sodom and Gomorrah. There's no mention of them trying to pass marriage. We don't know where the line is. The best way is to stay close to God, to remain obedient to the Word of God, so we won't have to worry about it at all. But the truth of the matter is this. If someone rejects God, suppresses the truth of God, ignores the existence of God, perverts the glory of God, God will give him up. That's the bottom line. He will abandon him. I wish it was not true, but it is. His life, his behavior, his mind will be affected when God gives up on him. Yes, there is a time when God gives up on a person. When a man hardens his heart, he is inclined to lose his mind. His behavior becomes self-destructive. He locks himself in a box designed to keep God out. And the sobering thought is that God will leave him in his box. God has indeed given us a dangerous gift, freedom of choice. Some people use their freedom to choose to go against God. Then God has no choice but to give up on them. He cannot approve such self-destructive behavior. Shall we pray? Father, we are saddened today by the text, but we know that you are a God of wrath as well as a God of love. And you clearly state your opinion in your word. And I pray, Father, that we would respect and honor your opinion, that we would not form opinions on our own, but that we would not budge from yours. Your word is God's word. It will always remain. It is not changeable. It cannot change. It will not change. So I pray, Father, that we would have a heart of compassion for those people who have chosen to reject God and may have been abandoned by God. But we know, Lord, that they have not committed the unpardonable sin. We know that you love them and you died for them. And you have said in your word that you are not willing that any shall perish. And that any includes anyone. So, Father, give us a heart of compassion. May we pray for them without having to approve what they do. Help us, Lord. Help this nation that is turning more and more from you, Lord. This nation that is turning more and more to sexual perversity. Heal our nation, Lord Jesus. Have mercy on us and save us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have been coming to this church for a while, you know that we do not target people. We do not target certain sin. We go through the Bible verse by verse. We just don't skip over unpleasant section. We have not addressed this subject since 1999 when we were last in the book of Romans chapter 1. Maybe another 11 years or so before we address it again. Devil does not like us to talk about this. He got our website down that we could not be live today broadcasting. He did not want this to go out. That's all right. But we do not target people. We do not hate people. We have the Word of God. We go through it and we share God's opinion and we warn the people of certain danger that are found in the Bible. So do not think that we purposely target people and address this subject. We address only the subjects that are in the Bible, and they're enough. That's enough. We do not do topical studies because it's too dangerous to make the Bible say what it is not really saying. But you keep it the way it was written. So this way we have God's opinion, the whole thing, and nothing but. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you who came today to meet the Lord. May He bless your home. May He bless your family, your children. May He help you to have a heart of compassion for people who have chosen that self-destructive behavior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.